Good morning, all. It's great to see you all. My name's Ben, if I haven't had a chance to meet you yet. It's lovely that you're with us today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as your church gathers together, we pray, come, Holy Spirit. Do your work in our lives and in our church. And we ask that your word would come to us today with power from your Spirit, that you would use the words that I speak to minister to our hearts. And finally, I pray that we as a church would echo the plea of Revelation 2:7, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen. Have you ever found yourself wishing that you could see Jesus face to face? Like, have you ever longed that you could meet him? I mean, I know we did that series called Meet Jesus, but like, really meet him. Wouldn't that just be amazing? I mean, just imagine like our upcoming church camp. Hey, everyone, we have a special guest with us today. It's Jesus. Yeah. Like, how good would that be? I'm sure the regos would go up. On the other side, on the difficult moments of discipleship, you know, when it's hard to follow Jesus, do you find yourself going like, if only I could just see him, if only I could just hear his words of assurance to me, if only I could just have him put his arm around my shoulder, then I would know it's going to be okay and it's going to be worth it. I think many of us have a longing like that. But as last week we celebrated the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead in a bodily, physical way, well, if we think about it, that means that the resurrected Jesus has a physical human body. And so if he were the guest preacher, you know, here this morning at St. Alfred's, well, then he couldn't be at Vermont South. I mean, imagine that would be much easier if we could be in more places at once, right? He couldn't be to our brothers and sisters in Ukraine or in Iran or in Gaza. If you were there, you couldn't be anywhere else. Now, according to Google, there's something like 37 million churches worldwide. That's pretty amazing. But if you do the maths, even if Jesus visited two every Sunday, it would take him over 350,000 years to get to every single one. Realistically, the odds of you ever meeting him would be practically zero. And knowing my luck, one of the kids would be unwell on that day anyway. But now in John 14-16, Jesus says something staggering. He has something better planned. He has planned something better for his people around the world, something which would enable his global church to experience his presence in a wider, deeper, and longer way. The answer, according to Jesus, is the Holy Spirit. In John 16, verse 7, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, that is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Like, imagine being one of the disciples hearing that for a moment. Like, I've seen this guy, like, give sight to the blind. I've seen him raise a man from death to life. What could possibly be better than that? And Jesus says, yes, this will be better. It is for your good that I'm doing this. According to Jesus, having the Holy Spirit amongst us is even better for the life of the church than having the resurrected Jesus remain physically present on earth. Well, as Emily mentioned before, we begin a new thematic sermon series today called Life in the Spirit. And so over the next 7 weeks, we are going to encounter the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we start by listening to Jesus in John 14 to 16. And as we do that, we learn that Jesus and the Father, they are sending the Holy Spirit to help us in four ways. The Holy Spirit helps us in four ways. First of all, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit as our companion. I have a look with me at John 14 from verse 16. Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives," literally abides, "with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." Did you notice the promises of Jesus as we look through that? Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans." Jesus says, I will come to you. I'm going to come to you. You will see me. You are in me and I am in you. These promises of Jesus only make sense in light of our understanding of the Trinity. As Christians, we believe that God, the God that we worship, the God that gathers us together week in, week out, is three persons, but each sharing the one divine nature. And so just as God the Father is God and God the Son is God and are each persons, the Holy Spirit is fully God. And the Holy Spirit is also a person. He's a person. That doesn't mean that, like, the Holy Spirit, he's not some kind of abstract energy like you might find in Star Wars. No, the Spirit is personal. He has a mind. He thinks. He has deep affections and longings and feelings and a will. And Jesus says the Spirit is our companion because he is Christ's personal abiding presence with us. When you encounter the Spirit, you encounter Jesus. Through the Spirit, we experience the welcome, the comfort, the joy, the strength, the help of Jesus himself. Jesus might be absent in body, but Jesus is present through the Spirit right here, right now. We don't have to settle for a once in 350,000 year appearance. Through his Spirit, Jesus turns up at our church every time we meet. And it's not even just that Jesus is present with us. I mean, that would be amazing, but no. The Holy Spirit enables a new level of relational access and intimacy with Jesus that was not possible before. If you were with us last Sunday, we saw Mary Magdalene as she encounters the risen Jesus. This is in John 20. And as soon as Mary recognizes him, well, like, what does she do? Well, she does what all of us, any of us, would do if we had found a lost person that we thought we would never see again. She embraces him. She holds on to him. She clings on to him as if to say, "I never want to lose you again." But then Jesus says, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. So Jesus is saying, don't hold on to my physical body. Let me return to my Father, and then I can send you my Spirit. And when that happens, I will not just be in your arms sometimes, but in your heart always. And nothing at all will ever be able to take me away from you. And what was true for Mary is true for us today. Jesus is saying to us, because I have given you my Spirit, I have come to live in your heart. And I will never leave you. And I know you personally. Through the Spirit dwelling in us, God Himself, the God of the universe, has perfect empathy for each and every one of us. Jesus knows from the inside exactly what you are going through this week, this morning, right now. Whether you are facing a terminal illness, grieving the loss of a family member, you're awake at 3 a.m. struggling to feed your baby, or detained in a prison cell for your faith, or maybe the only believer in Jesus in a whole town, Jesus says, you are not alone. I am there with you, and nothing can take me away from you. The Holy Spirit is our companion. Well, second, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit as our helper. Jesus says in John 14:15, he says, if you love me, keep my commands. And he says a similar thing in verse 23. But he knows that none of us can do that in our own strength. Centuries earlier, through the prophet Ezekiel, God promised that there is a day that is coming. There's a day coming when I will give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. God would send the Holy Spirit as our helper. Four times in these chapters of Jesus, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the advocate. In some other translations, it might be the comforter. And the Greek word behind this term, it literally means someone who is called to come alongside someone else. Like called to come alongside. That's kind of what the word means. The Holy Spirit helps us not by instructing us from afar. He is God who comes alongside us to help us. Like the helpers that we had before who were stacking the cups right there with them, helping them. Our four girls each have a bike. This is a stock photo. That's not one of my girls up there. But over the last year or so, we've been helping them progressively learn how to ride without training wheels. Now, if you can recall back to your own experience, either helping your kids or maybe as your parents maybe helped you, you've probably learned that you don't just take the training wheels off, get them to the top of a big hill, give them a push and say, off you go, best of luck. Oh no, they crashed. you don't do that, do you? When Lavinia was starting out, she wanted me to keep my hand on the back of her, on her back initially, holding her and then on the seat. And then I would keep close. I would be running alongside her. I'm incredibly unfit, but I had to do it anyway because I love my children. And I steadied her as she wobbled. And when she would lose balance and fall, you know, I wouldn't say, like, what are you doing? No. We'd encouragingly scoop her up, give her a hug, tell her not to lose heart, get her back on the bike, let's try again. And as she got better and better, Emily and I would be there cheering her on, rejoicing with her. You've done it. How good are you? We need the Holy Spirit in our lives because we can't live the Christian lives in our own strength. In the Spirit, God comes to us as our helper, guiding us, steadying us, supporting us when life and obedience gets wobbly. Like, we're not expected to do it on our own. The Holy Spirit is our helper. And over the next 6 weeks, the rest of this series, we're going to see the many ways in which the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us in salvation and in new life, in growing our character and empowering us with spiritual gifts and sending us out in Jesus' name to the ends of the earth. God never wanted us to do the Christian life alone. The Spirit is our helper, and He provides the power that we lack. Well, third, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's our teacher. In our passage, Jesus promises that the Spirit will teach you and will guide you into all the truth. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, leading the disciples and us in His truth. It began with that first generation of apostles as the Holy Spirit enabled them to preach the news, the good news of who Jesus was, and to draw many people into saving faith in Jesus. And alongside their ministry that we see in the book of Acts, the Spirit then worked as their teacher, guiding and leading them in the letters and the biographies that they wrote for the church. And the Bible that we have today is inspired by God Himself. 2 Timothy says it's God-breathed, God-spirited. And that's what we mean when we talk about the inspiration of Scripture. It's inspired. God's Spirit is in these words. And so what that means is that the Bible and the work of the Spirit, they go hand in hand. The Holy Spirit loves the Bible, for He wrote it. And He gives it new life. Hebrews 4 says it's alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Ephesians 6 says that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And if you were here during our Nehemiah series, Wei Han rightly said, God's Spirit loves to point to the glory of God's Son in the clarity of God's Word. And that's what the Spirit does for us. The Spirit gives these ancient words life and power in every generation of people who read them. And so as we read the Bible, we ask the Spirit to guide us, to teach us. That's what we do, hopefully. That's what I do as I prepare the words that I'm going to say. Hopefully that's what happens when you prepare to read the Bible for yourself or in your small groups. We pray, we ask the Spirit to help us because we are so dependent on the ongoing work of the Spirit to inspire us to understand, to receive, and apply what God has spoken. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2 that for the most part, most people in the world, the gospel, the good news about what Jesus has done for them, it sounds like nonsense. And look, and maybe if you've shared your faith with somebody else, maybe that kind of reaction is what you've got. It sounds like a bunch of rubbish. Well, because of the impact of sin in our world, that's the normal, natural response to God's revelation. And so we all need the Spirit to open up our eyes and our hearts so that Jesus' message makes sense and takes root in us. And I, as I've been getting to know some of you here, I know that some of you have had profound experiences of God at work in your life by the Holy Spirit. And that's really wonderful. But I think maybe some of you, maybe you're thinking, oh, if only I could have that kind of thing, then I would know that the Spirit is really at work in me. But the thing is, according to the Bible, if you can say, I trust and follow Jesus as my Saviour, as my King, if you can say that and you can mean it, then God's Spirit has actually done something remarkable, supernatural, and incredibly powerful in your life. That does not come naturally. God's Spirit is at work in you. And through His Spirit, God still teaches us today. And even just a simple example of this is, like, look, you might have grown up seeing and hearing a particular passage of the Bible for your whole life. And then one day, you might just be going through something very particular, and suddenly these words hit you in a profound and powerful new way. If you've had one of those moments, that is God's Spirit illuminating and at work as a teacher in your life, doing His work. He loves to help us understand. And in the coming weeks, we're going to keep exploring some of the other ways in which the Holy Spirit speaks and teaches us as well. Well, the Holy Spirit is our companion. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Holy Spirit is our teacher. And finally, the Holy Spirit is our spotlight. We live in an age which is increasingly divided by different viewpoints, and online different algorithms will feed us individualized information, and so we can all be in potentially very different directions on a whole bunch of things. The Holy Spirit works in our lives to unite us by pointing us in the one direction. Jesus, He says, when the Advocate comes, He will testify about me. He will glorify me. That's what the Spirit does. Now, when I was just 1 month old, the Irish rock band U2 released an album called Rattle and Hum. Maybe you've listened to it. But I love this iconic cover because it's got this great photo, this shot of the lead singer Bono, and he's shining a spotlight on the guitarist Edge as he plays. And the Spirit in our lives is like a giant spotlight. He doesn't seek His own glory. He shines it on Jesus. Look, and we are all different people. We have all had very different journeys that have led us to where we are right now. And as we've seen, the Holy Spirit can be at work in us in many different ways. And that's a wonderful thing. But it shouldn't surprise us then that if one person's experience of the Spirit at work in their lives is different to mine. Like, the Spirit is bigger than us. He knows us perfectly, and so that should make sense. But I suppose the danger is, if we're each having different experiences, what might that look like for unity? But the thing is, because Jesus is the focus and the Holy Spirit is the spotlight, we should trust that the works of the Spirit in our lives and in our brothers and sisters here and across the world, where the Spirit is at work, that will unite us as one body in Jesus' name. The Spirit enables us to all point to Jesus, to unite us around Jesus, and enables us and empowers us in a renewed devotion to Jesus and seeking to live for Him and point others to Him as well. That is what the Spirit loves to do in us. And so if you're experiencing something and you're like, I'm not sure, is this the Spirit at work or is this just something else? Is it pointing you to Jesus? And if it is, then you can be pretty sure that God is at work. Well, the Holy Spirit is our companion, our helper, our teacher, and our spotlight. Well, given these fourfold roles of the Spirit that Jesus talks about, I was thinking about how we might respond this morning. So this week I came up with a simple prayer. A simple prayer which expresses our collective desire to cultivate and build our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And sure, maybe it's a bit cheesy, but hopefully you'll remember it. And so this is the prayer. It's really simple. Holy Spirit, help. Holy Spirit, help. H-E-L-P. Hold me, empower me, lead me, point me. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we give you thanks and praise that you are the fulfillment of Jesus' promise that he will not leave us as orphans, that you are with us always to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the age. We thank you and praise you that you are with us today and you are at work in our lives. So, Lord, we want to know you more. And so, Holy Spirit, as our companion, hold us in the arms of Jesus. Hold us, those who are feeling alone or betrayed or isolated or struggling, hold us in your tender, loving care. Holy Spirit, as our helper, empower us to live your way, to live for Jesus. We thank you that you've enabled us to have faith in you, and we ask that you would empower us afresh to put to death those things that are sinful in our lives, and that you would fan into flames the gifts of your Spirit, that we would build up your church in love and in unity. And Holy Spirit, as our spotlight, point us to Jesus in everything. Lord, there are so many things that could distract us or divide us, but Lord, through your Spirit, point us to Jesus. Center us around the cross and the empty tomb. Center us around your ascension and that you live to listen to us every single day. Point us to Jesus. Help us know that growth in your kingdom is not going beyond the gospel, but going deeper in the gospel. Fill us afresh with everything we need to point and fix our eyes to Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen.